Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, earned a Master of Divinity at St. Francis de Sales, and a PhD in Educational Leadership from Colorado State University. In 1986, he was ordained a priest, and since 2007, he has run a homeless ministry, street ministry, and jail ministry in the Atlanta, Georgia area. A shining example of what evangelization is, his name, Father Roy Lee. And we're honored to have him as our guest. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula, this is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Father Roy Lee, who runs, amongst other things, a homeless ministry out of Atlanta, Georgia. Father, welcome. It's an honor to have you.
Oh, it is so good to be here. Thank you for allowing me to be in this moment, this sacred moment, this holy moment, this divine moment with all of you. I just want to say thank you. And I'm very appreciative of being your guest today. Thank you.
Can we start by you offering an opening prayer, please?
Absolutely. Let us bow our heads as we are now in the presence of God. And so we pray. Oh, Lord, we come standing in your very midst, standing in the need of prayer. We come because we know that you continue to be among us, where you say two or three are gathered, you will be there. So we come in the name of Jesus, and we ask through the power of your Spirit that you will use us. So we come to you today asking for your guidance, your wisdom, and your support as we begin this moment of conversation. Help us to be engaged in a wonderful and meaningful discussion. Allow us to grow closer as a community and nurtured by the bonds of love. And so, Father God, fill us with your grace. Let us continue to be the light of the world, the salt of the earth, and for they will know that we are Christians by the way we love and care for one another. We ask this in the name of Jesus as we come to adore with the angels. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. All right, let's go back to Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Talk about your childhood and your mom and your dad, please.
Sure. Thank you. My mom and dad grew up in around the area of Jackson, Mississippi. And they were Baptists. And my mother tells me the story. She's still with us. Dad is with the Lord. Mom is now 95 years old. And she was inspired by the nuns back then. And I guess that was before Vatican II. And the inspiration came from the Catholic school system. It came from the evangelization of the spirit of the nuns back then. And my mother said to herself that she wanted her children to be exposed to this kind of Catholic Christian education. And so she joined the church before Dad, and then she raised us all in the Catholic church, Catholic school system. And so later on, my dad became Catholic many years after that. And that's how the journey began, through the faith of those religious sisters. My mom tells me it was their sign and symbol that they wore on their back, the habit, that spoke evangelization to her. It was the school system, the Catholic school system, that spoke evangelization to her. It was the education, and it was the Christ-centeredness brought into the curriculum that was part of the evangelization. And so that was the humble beginnings. My parents came from very humble beginnings in around Jackson, Mississippi. And then they migrated And they tell me they migrated in the early 50s, if I'm not mistaken, from Mississippi up to Milwaukee, Wisconsin, for a better way of life. And that's where my journey began, in Milwaukee.
All right. What's the biggest thing you learned from Mom, and what's the biggest thing you learned from Dad, Father?
I don't want to so much separate both of them, but the biggest thing, as I shared with you, is the faith. That is the biggest thing I learned from my mother. I walk with in my spirit that if it wasn't for my mother who walked into that space of Catholicism, where would I be today?
Speaking of where would you be today, at age 15, God sent you an angel, a German lady.
Yes.
Talk about that.
Thank you. I think about her every day. She's with the Lord. Her name was Marion Strauss. What Strauss did was remarkable. You talk about evangelization. I think that's what's in my soul, from my parents to Marion Strauss to a faith community that I grew up in, the neighborhood and the church. This woman used to go around. She lived in the neighborhood, number one. She used to go around. And, of course, the community trusted her. This little petite, she stood about, I say about 5'5", very petite, very educated, and very much committed to the Catholic Christian faith. She used to go around, we had to be about 13, 14. She used to go around in our neighborhood, and she would pick up the little kids. As I said, about 13, 14, we weren't that little. And she would pick us up and say, would you like to come and join the Legion of Mary? Didn't know what the Legion of Mary really was at the time. Well, come to find out, we would go to the church that was a couple blocks away. That was my faith community called St. Leo. Still, it's been sold, unfortunately, to a Protestant faith community on 25th and Locust in Milwaukee. We would go into the basement of the rectory, and we would read from the book of St. Louis de Montfort. We would pray the rosary. We would have the little money bag. If we had a quarter or a nickel or a dime, it would go under the table. We'd put it in there. Then we had apostolic work, learning the faith. It was that reading from St. Louis de Montfort, True Devotion to Mary. That was the seed, and this is why I said Our Lady was at work. Our Lady was at work with me, and reading from the book, learning the faith, and then what we would do, we gave the Jehovah Witnesses a run for their money. We used to go out in pairs with adults, and we would go knocking on doors. This is part of evangelization. We used to go knocking on doors and asking the people if they didn't have a church community, a mosque community, a temple community, would they consider Catholicism? We would talk to them about Catholicism. Here I am at this young age talking about my Catholic Christian faith. We also went to, especially during the Christmas season, the Advent season, we would go to nursing homes and we would sing Christmas carols. And the wonderful thing about it, she would give us treats. What she used to do, she would take us to McDonald's. That was really the big treat for us after we did this kind of evangelization piece. She would take us to McDonald's. She began to talk to me. She saw something in me that I didn't see in myself. This woman began to plant really light, small seeds of vocation. She began to talk to me about priesthood. Now, you know, here I am, 13, 14 years old, and she's telling me about becoming priest. I knew what priesthood was because I belong to St. Leo Catholic Church, brought up in the Catholic Christian faith. So I kind of knew. I knew what I was a server. That's where the seed was also planted. I was a server when I was like 12 years old. And she began to talk to me. She saw something in me that I didn't see in myself. And she began to have the conversation about vocation to the priesthood. And we talked and talked day in and day out about religious life, vocation, priesthood, and I began to explore this possibility. It was in that conversation, it was in that kind of exploring, that I began to test the waters.
We're talking to Father Roy Lee, who became a priest, ordained 1986. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula, and with Father Roy Lee. If you want to know what evangelization is, just watch Father Lee for one day. That's what evangelization is. Father, you were ordained in 1986, all right? So
yes.
You've said Mass about 14,000 times.
That's right.
And you say at one point in the Mass, this is my body, this is my blood.
Yeah.
When you hold that host and chalice up, what do you say to yourself? What do you think?
I say what Doubting Thomas said. And that's why I genuflect. That's why we genuflect as ordained priests. Because I'm saying, my Lord and my God. And understanding that God uses a broken vessel like myself and all the other ordained priests. As Mother Teresa said so well, I'm just a pencil in the hand of God. I'm going to say this. I'm a broken pencil in the hand of God. And when I step into those shoes of Jesus, something that the angels cannot do, that he manifests himself through the most powerful gift on the face of the earth, the greatest miracle that is contained on that altar and contained in a little tiny host becomes a reality of our salvation. Where we experience on that altar, Good Friday, Easter Sunday morning, and then a meal that Jesus said, I'm going to give you my flesh to eat, transubstantiation. We can't fathom that reality. We got to walk into that space and say, Lord, help my unbelief. It's a profound, wonderful gift that God has left for us on this journey that should take us to heaven if we become what we eat.
We're talking to Father Roy Lee. Father, from 1990 to 1999, you were a chaplain in the U.S. Air Force. Talk about that chapter.
Well, that chapter was wonderful. I've gone to places I would never been able to adventure. It was a moment to be with the troops, and I went to war. The Desert Shield, Desert Storm, I went to war. Iraq War, I went to war with the troops. That was one of the most challenging. People cannot fathom what war. War is devastating. And I now understand why some of our soldiers come back with PTSD. Because you see a glimpse of hell. It was wonderful to be in the midst of the troops during wartime and to be there on the battlefield with the soldier, and to see some of them not coming home, back home alive, to be able to minister the last rites to them, to give them hope in the midst of fear. So that experience is an indelible mark on me in terms of, and this is why I have a special place in my heart for first responders. Let me say that, for first responders. And so it was wonderful because I was able to minister to people from all over the world. I was able to go places, as I said, I would never been able to go outside the country, in Japan, Saudi Arabia, in Europe, in Japan. I would have never been able to go to these places. And it was in these places that I was able to meet our troops and even some of the civilians who worked on base, to minister to them and to be the presence of Christ for them.
What's the biggest thing they taught you, those young American heroes, our soldiers?
They taught me about faith. Those soldiers taught me about faith. I mean, of course, we say, okay, I had the faith. But our faith is in what we call, it's evolving. I always say I'm a work in progress. And so my evolution of my Catholic Christianity is evolving because of my service to other people. And that's how I grow. I grow through the service to other people. So that's the power. That's the beauty. Jesus said, I came not to be served, but to serve and to give my life for the ransom of many. That's when I come into my authentic self, is when I die to myself and I see and look at the good of the other. And that's when we walk into our true self, our authentic self, the reality that God has really brought me here for this purpose, to know him, to love him, and to serve him.
We're talking to Father Roy Lee, and in 2007, God told him that he had a specific person, specific mission for Father Lee for the rest of his life, probably. When we come back, we'll ask him what that was. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula. We're with Father Roy Lee. In 2000, through doing research, he got to Atlanta, Georgia. And then in 2007, there was a mass for students. And to try to get him there, they were going to give him 200 hot dogs. And a gas leak changed Father Roy Lee's life. Go ahead, yeah. Father.
Thank you. Let me preface this. As you said, my bishop at the time gave me permission to do advanced studies. And I always had this propensity for education, especially for our children. So I went back to school to get a PhD in educational leadership. In that, after that research and after getting the PhD, I asked my bishop, because I did my research here in Atlanta, and I asked my bishop if I could do evangelization. And he said, what does that mean? So he allowed me to give retreats and workshops and missions and revivals around the country. And then I happened one day, this church called St. Benedict in Atlanta, very large church in the suburbs, asked me to say the mass for those students who will be making confirmation. And they had a lot. They had like 90-something students, if I'm not mistaken, back then. And after the mass, to give a talk in the hall. And I said, sure. So it was during the mass that after I finished my homily, the pastor came up and in front of the congregation and whispered in my ear. He said, we've got to leave the church. We got to vacate immediately. And I said, Was my preaching that bad? He said, there is a gas leak. So we got everybody out of the church. We got the consecrated hosts out of the tabernacle. We moved everybody into the parking lot. And then we gave commute. The first responders were on their way. Didn't know how long this was going to take. This is why we got the consecrated hosts out of the tabernacle. And then we gave the folks in the parking lot Holy Communion, the Eucharist. Well, it took longer than we expected. And then the youth, they left. Rita Anderson, her name is Rita Anderson, she's still there, religious education coordinator. She came up to me rather despondent, and she said, Father Lee, the parents make dinner for these students who are preparing for confirmation. I said, well, what did they make for them? She said, they made hot dogs. I said, well, how many hot dogs are you talking about? She said, they made like over 200 hot dogs, because kids are going to be kids. They're going to eat. They want two or three, four or five hot dogs. I said, OMG. I said, I haven't eaten all day. I said, 200 hot dogs sound wonderful to me. She said, Father Lee, she said, what are we going to do with all these hot dogs? And so this is how the Holy Spirit works. My wheels in my head begin to spin. I remember going down, up and down Peach Tree and Pine, there was a large, huge homeless shelter there. You would see them hanging out outside. And I began to picture these folks in my head. I said, I know what I can do with these hot dogs. I said, let's load them up, and I know where to take them. Well, I had several of those hot dogs as I was heading downtown on Peachtree and Pine. I parked the car on the side of the homeless shelter, and all of a sudden when I parked, I opened up the trunk, and the aroma just went all up and down the sidewalk. And the homeless people, of course, they were grabbing, all of them were just huddled around my car. And I said, everybody get in line. Everybody get in line. I said, we're going to say a prayer first. And we said a prayer, and I began to hand out these hot dogs. And the last lady I hand two hot dogs to, she looked at me with these eyes of hunger. And she said to me in her voice, she said, can you come back tomorrow? And I looked at this lady and I said, ma'am, this is by mistake tonight. And when I walked away and went back into my prayer life, I visualized this lady's face, and I could hear her voice in my head. Well, a couple days passed, and I called Rita, religious education coordinator at St. Benedict's, and I said to Rita, I don't want you to think I'm crazy. I said, this is the strangest thing. I said, I'm seeing and I'm hearing this lady's voice in my head saying, will you come back tomorrow? Can you come back tomorrow? Rita said, hold that thought. She said, give me a few days. A week passed, I got a call back from Rita. She said, I have some people from St. Benedict's who would like to make hot dogs and go out in under the highways and byways to give out hot dogs to the homeless, the street people. They're wonderful. And that's how it began. And it's been going on ever since. I got over 100 volunteers from all over the Archdiocese of Atlanta. We go out regularly, and I have a wonderful team. People give me furniture. They give me food. They give me monetary gifts to give to these folks. And let me tell you, I had to rent out a couple of storage units. And I have a wonderful crew. During the weekday, I have people calling me saying, I got some wonderful furniture. I got some non-perishable food items. And we'll go out and get them. And we're getting calls throughout the week. And my small crew go out, and we pick up the furniture, and we deliver. And then during the peak days, holiday peak days, like we got Thanksgiving coming up now, then we have Christmas coming up, we have Memorial Day, we have Labor Day. These are our big events. We go into some of the most depressed areas in Atlanta, and we give out Bibles, we give out food, we give out furniture. I have a mic. I wear a white tunic with a cross all the time. And I begin to preach like a street preacher. And we play gospel music to these folks, sacred music. And these folks are mesmerized. They asked, they said, you know, we bring the Catholic Church on wheels now because we know they're not going to come to us. We're going to meet them where they are. And we meet them in time and culture. And I get this all the time. They come up and say, where? They don't ask me my denomination. They say, where is your church? That's what they ask me. Where they see the love, and they want to be part of that faith community because they see the love already being demonstrated, not only by word, but by deed.
17 years later, Father, you're feeding them, you're clothing them, you're giving them furniture with 100 volunteers. What's the biggest thing these homeless people have taught you, Father Roy Lee?
As I said about military, they have strengthened my faith. I now understand Jesus more deeply in ministering to the poor. It is, you know, blessed are the poor in spirit. Let's talk about the Beatitudes. Because it's not only the material, the tangible, but there is a hole in everybody's heart. And that hole can only be fulfilled by Jesus. It only can be fulfilled when we put boots on the ground and when we minister to those who are less fortunate. less fortunate. And it is in that experience where I meet Christ. Now, I'm not saying Christ are not in the other experiences in life. I'm not saying that. But there's something let me use the word mystical. There's something very divine when you minister to the poor people, the most vulnerable people, the people who have nothing, don't know how they're going to pay their bills. And it is stepping in the shoes of Jesus again, like I was saying on the altar, stepping in the shoes doing mass and consecration. I'm stepping in the shoes of Jesus. And then I'm experiencing a mysticism. I'm experiencing the Eucharist again in a wonderful form. And when I was hungry, did you feed me? When I was a stranger, did you make me feel welcome? When I was in prison, did you come to visit me? Whatever you did, this is not the words of Father Lee, this is the words of Jesus. Whatever you did to the least of my brothers, and this is in the book of Revelation, when we will have to stand before God and he will do the separation from the sheep from the goat, and that's what he's going to ask us. And I tell these folks, some of the folks ask me, some of the folks we're ministering to in some of the most depressed areas, they come up to me and say, why are you doing this? And I said, I'm just trying to get to heaven. We may be feeling, I'm going to use the plural we, because it's not just Father Lee, we as community, we may be filling your belly and putting furniture in your apartment, but you're helping us get to heaven. You're helping us get close, have a closer walk in a relationship with Jesus. That's the mysticism that I'm talking about.
We're talking to Father Roy Lee. A couple of quotes. We have to meet people where they are and don't judge, just serve. Father Roy Lee, and I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR.
You've been listening to your inspirational fireside chat, Anything Is Possible, for nearly 20 years.
This is Anything Is Possible, and I'm Jack Crisula.
But what has Jack been up to lately? Search at AIP Speaker Series and find out. Jack has interviewed thousands of historical voices, some of whom have offered him their philosophy of life, like Tom Izzo.
And Tom writes, work hard, persistence always wins out, discipline is the highest form of love. Stay humble.
The great Ernie Harwell.
My aim is to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with God.
And the voices of our generation.
I am reassured continuously that his unfathomable love and mercy are the greatest gifts of my life and my constant source of strength, reassurance, and guidance. His Holiness, Pope Francis.
At AIP Speakers Series is the YouTube channel where all of these jewels can be heard, including some of Anything Is Possible's greatest guests.
And we're with Mitch Albom.
The Little Liar is really a book about truth and lies and the price we pay when we lie.
This is Anything Is Possible, and with Tom Watson.
My father loved to play with the pros at the club, developed a very quick friendship with Stan and played some golf with him, and then he would ask me to play golf with him and Stan.
Our guest this week was born with a rare disorder characterized by the absence of arms and legs. His name, Nick Vujicic.
Something that every human being actually deals with, Jack. It's the choice of continuing to believe or giving up.
And recordings of the AIP Speaker Series events at St. John's Resort. Go to YouTube and search at AIP Speaker Series. It's free. And remember,
anything is possible.
Spohom. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Father Roy Lee. Since 2007, he's run homeless ministry, street ministry, and jail ministry in the Atlanta area. Mr. Enthusiasm. Father, so many of us get to a traffic light, and it's red, and we see this homeless guy, homeless lady, with a sign. What should we do?
I think we all have to examine our hearts. Now, I found out what God wanted me to do. And I'm not saying every person who's asking for a dollar or two that we have to stop and give them a dollar or two. And I'm not saying that's bad. And we need to do that if God is calling you to do that. What they remind me of these folks we see on the corner standing for a sign, I will work for food, I'm homeless, I need a dollar, I need this. They become the presence of God for us. Now, what do I mean by that? They should prick our conscience. And what I mean by prick our conscience is this. It should be a voice from God saying, what am I doing for the least of my brothers and sisters? It may not be giving them a dollar, but we all need to be doing something. Now, let me just say this, too, because all of us are in this journey together, and not everybody can do what I do. And I always say these folks who have health issues, who are homebound, who are elderly, you know, people can give monetary gifts. If God has blessed you, and I feel people downsize, people call me and say, we want to get rid of furniture. You know, people are making transitions in life. People have, people sometimes have been gifted with money. And then you have to, you know, decide which organization, which Catholic, or in the Catholic Church, we are one of the largest, and I always kind of stick out my chest on this piece. We are the largest charitable organization on the face of the earth. So you get to choose. Some people, you know, give to my charitable fund, which is a 501c3 now. Some people go to St. Vincent de Paul. Some people go to Catholic Charities. But what they do, when you see that person, going back to your question, they should prick our conscience and disturb our spirit to say, what am I doing for the least of my sisters, my brothers? That's what we should be doing. Now, that's why I say God has called me to do this. The other day, the other week, I had an episode. I always carry extra supplies in my vehicle, in my truck now. And I passed this one church, which is near the Capitol, called the Shrine of the Immaculate Conception. That's near the Capitol here in Atlanta. And they got these, I mean, just a stray of homeless people lying around. They're lining the church on the concrete. I stopped my truck. God said, you stop. You got these extra things in the back of your truck. I stopped and I began to minister. I had my white tunic on, my cross on, and I began, and that's why I said I carried these extra things in my truck, and I began to minister. I began to minister. Not everybody can do that. And we also got to be very cautious today, too. Because it can be a very dangerous thing. And this is why I understand why Jesus sent them out two by two and not one by one. You got to know what you're doing. You got to also have, if you're going onto the streets, you better have street smart. You better know how to deal with the homeless. You better know how to deal with the mentally ill. You better know how to deal with those who have just hit on bad times. You better know how to deal with those who are struggling with any forms of addictions. So this is not a ministry for everyone. This is a ministry for some, but everybody's got to be doing something. And this is what God has called me and 100-plus people who are following me. This is what we do, and we train them, and we train them.
All right, speaking of doing something, we're just entering Advent.
Yeah.
What is it, and what should I be doing during Advent?
It is that time. There, let me just peel this layer here. It is looking at the mercy and the love of God. Advent, that this God didn't forget about us when we fell from grace, and He did the unthinkable. That second person of the Trinity took flesh and became our GPS on how to get back to God. Became our GPS on how to get back to God. And then in that being said, Advent is a time for us to prepare. We always think about the preparation of the coming of the Lord. Yeah, He came 2,000 years ago, and we know He's coming back. But in between that, we got to understand, are we going to be ready to meet the Lord? Because He can come like a thief in the night. And that means, are we going to be ready to meet the Lord? Advent is a time of preparation. And that preparation meets us now in community. That preparation meets us now on how we deal with each other, how we work with each other, how we love each other. That's what Advent is about. Advent's about a change of, it's called metanoia. It's about a change of heart. And we are a work in progress, and we're in constant need of metanoia. Advent.
As our time winds down, can you lead us in a closing prayer, please?
Absolutely. In thanksgiving for this moment, I just want to just thank God for this moment that he has given us so that we can have a conversation and meet us where we are in the midst of our brokenness, in the midst of even our times of doubt and fear. But in the midst of all that, to continue to give praise to a God who has never forgotten about us. I want to give thanks to God for sharing his mother with us, Mother Mary. As he said, one of the seven last words was, "Behold thy mother," that she is truly our heavenly mother that is constantly interceding for us and has also taught us through her way of life, not knowing how the end was going to be, but her faith, her fiat, her yes, her journey that never said no to God. I said, lend your heart to me, Mother Mary. Lend your heart to me. Lend your heart to us that we will say always yes to the will of God. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So be with us in this midst of a changing and challenging world, knowing that in the resurrection, we have our hope. It's in the resurrection we know that in the end, God's going to win. So we ask all these things in the name of Jesus, who continue to walk among us. As St. Teresa of Avila says, Christ has no body now but yours. He has no more hands and feet but yours. So use us, the temple where we've been injected with God's DNA, the Trinity, knowing that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. We ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
And Father, thank you for Father Roy Lee. What a shining example of evangelization in action. Please join us next Saturday. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohol.